FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio. Mark Cox Morning Show. So I'm heading up to the highway.
I got nothing to lose at all. And we have another great friend of mine, Ted Cruz, and he is a friend of mine, except for about 4 or 5 months in between.
So the president down at the border yesterday, he had Senator Cruz down there with him and John Cornyn as he's touring the border. I'm sure he's having a little bit of fun with Jim Acosta yesterday as he retweeted and shared Acosta's video, proving his point that when you're at the border in places where there's a wall, there's generally speaking, there's not a problem.
And here are some of the steel slats that the president's been talking about right here. As you can see, yes, you can see through these slats to the other side of the U.S.-Mexico border. But as we're walking along here, we're not seeing any kind of imminent danger. There are no migrants trying to rush toward this fence.
Thank you, Jim Acosta, for putting your big foot in your big mouth and proving exactly what the president has been saying all along. Hey, good morning to you. Happy Friday. Happy Snowmageddon. Been watching my friends, my former reporting colleagues out on the streets this morning where there's nothing going on, I should mention, in storm mode. But I've got to give them a credit. I got to give them a little bit of compliment this morning. Saw my friend Steve Harris out there. Saw some of the newer reporters over there at Channel 4 who I'm not familiar with. They are looking sharp.
Yeah.
Whoever's in charge of Channel 4 down there has clearly opened up the clothing budget.
Yeah, the
and they bought
and
them
hats.
Some nice coats and nice hats. Yeah, they didn't buy those on a closeout deal somewhere like the ones we used to have. So if any of my Channel 4 friends are listening, I'd love to get my hands on one of those. It's okay. You can give them to the veterans so we can support some
share
of that nice
love.
Gear, too.
Yeah,
share the love. I spent enough time in snowdrifts telling people not to go outside. So there you have it. By the way, if there are school closings or anything like that, we're going to have all the latest for you right here on 971talk.com on the website. So just go there and check it out, and you'll know the very latest about what's going on. How about that? Hey, let's get to our guest, please.
Back up, you creep.
So beat the drum with me.
Get away from me.
I'm not America, sweetheart.
That was some weird
Annie Fry, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Great.
Doing just fine. You're all the kids all excited that they're going to get the day off school tomorrow?
Yeah. If I told them that right now, they'd probably give me at least 10 minutes of excitement out of the kids.
Till they realize that it's Saturday, right?
Not for about 10 minutes.
Exactly. So anyway, we're not really talking about the snow a great deal other than to say that we're going to have coverage. We've got Murray coming up later, and he'll update the forecast. I'm more interested in what's going on around the world. Among other things, I had John Malcolm on this morning from Heritage talking about whether or not he thinks the president has the authority to declare a national emergency. I keep waiting for it. I know he's still negotiating with Democrats. Malcolm drew the conclusion that he believes that he does, although he also expects that this is probably something that immediately gets challenged in court and goes to the Supreme Court. Do you think he's going to pull the trigger?
I don't put anything past the president, that's for sure. Every time I lean in and think, all right, something's going to give here, something's going to cave, the president doesn't cave. I haven't seen him cave yet. There's, you know, maybe he caved a little bit prior to this point on this particular issue, but the last time he decided to go with the CR that was given to him by Congress, he said, this is the last time I'm going to do it. And I, you know, the other Republicans that I've seen in charge, in leadership in our government, not necessarily even at the level of the presidency, they always cave. They're always the one to cave. And the Democrats know that. It's, I mean, historically speaking here, you would think that if Pelosi and Schumer can just keep holding out, that eventually the Republicans will cave. So if they are going to keep pushing in that direction, which sure seems like they are, and if they're used to Republicans, you know, always have the way the Democratic Party relies on winning elections is by Democrats painting Republicans out to be holier than thou, perfect, blameless individuals. And then, shockingly, we find out that they aren't perfect. We always find out that they're not perfect because they never were perfect. And then when the Republican takes the fall, the Democrats just clean up the rewards that are left behind. It's pretty dirty. It's pretty nasty. And as of this point in time, the president, for every step away from the center that the Democrats have taken, the president takes a step in the other direction, and his stride is bigger, and it's stronger, and it's more confident. So the American people are left in the middle going, all right, and the government workers who aren't getting paid today are left saying, okay, when am I going to get my next paycheck? The hypocrisy here is that the folks on the left are talking about how they're the party of the middle-class worker, the blue-collar worker, the government worker, supposed to be able to rely on these individuals on the left, correct? Isn't that the way they paint themselves?
Right.
And if you want to talk about holding people hostage here, the Democrats are willing to hold all of those individuals hostage for some political gain that's going to have the shelf life of, you know, produce. It's not going to last very long to quote unquote win this shutdown, in my opinion, because our news cycle moves too quickly for it to last too long. So come to the table. You know, I know it's not going to be popular with you, but at least in 2013 and 14, we were playing sound yesterday from President Obama's immigration bill that the House Republicans wouldn't take up for good measure because it wasn't enough on border security when President Obama was putting that on the table. But at least he was talking about something that could be done, that he'd be willing to do. These Democrats are hapless, they're absent, and they're just waiting for the president to trip up. I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't think so either. You know, if the Democrats were serious, if they seriously believed they had the American people behind them, they would go ahead and let Donald Trump have this money for the wall, let the construction begin. By 2020, the wall's not going to be complete anyway. And then they can make it an issue in the election, and they can go to the American people and let them decide. Because in 2016, this president was elected on a mandate to do those things because he promised he would, and now he can't get the money to do it. Now, here's something I think's interesting, because you and I have been having this discussion over what would you be willing to give up to get the wall. And then this story breaks yesterday on Fox about the fact that Lindsey Graham, I'm assuming Lindsey Graham version 3.0, because I've liked the reboot more than the original, was apparently trying to negotiate some sort of a grand deal and got shut down. Go to cut 35, please.
Bipartisan congressional sources say President Trump personally killed an effort by Senator Lindsey Graham to craft a grand bargain.
I have never been more depressed about moving forward than right now. I just don't see a pathway forward.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, so Graham clearly wanted to try to roll a grand bargain would be something floating a carrot on the stick out there like DACA or some other form of amnesty like the Gang of Eight bill to try to get the ball rolling, and the president shut him down.
Yeah, you know, I think what I have wanted to see in an effort to really force the hands of the Democrats is I've wanted to hear from the Republicans that, you know, with the support of the president, because none of it matters if you won't sign it. I've been wanting to hear Republicans talk about things that they would be willing to consider, things that would be on the table, not, you know, not automatic agreements, but things that they would be willing to discuss in exchange for this border security. You've got President Trump, whose focus here is stopping the bleeding at the border, and that's a very important first step in solving a massive immigration problem that our country has. It's, you know, the Democrats want to talk about a manufactured crisis. Well, less than a decade, you've had all of the same Democrats talking about how border security is an important issue that needs to be resolved. Only thing that's changed is President Trump. We can all see it. We're not stupid. They need us to be stupid. They need us to be reliant on flipping our preferred network on television and listening to our favorite pundit tell us what our marching orders are going to be. And we're not that dumb. We just aren't. And we can see it. That doesn't mean that we necessarily, personally speaking, that I like everything I hear from the side of the Republicans. But I can think for myself, and I also don't need them to make me feel good. I need them to do smart things. And there's a big difference there. The folks on the left are relying on people who vote, people who support politicians financially. They're relying on them to feel like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are on their side. There's a lot of feeling going on, and there's a lot of border issues that just still continue to take place. And America knows that. The question is, how are the adults in the room going to come together and remedy this issue? If Democrats think that they're ever going to get the opportunity to solve this issue on their own, if Republicans don't participate in that right now, like I said, I point to the state of Illinois. Has Illinois just this week started their new legislative session? This is one of the most Democrat-controlled, top-to-bottom state government that Illinois has ever experienced. Pretty much, without exception, whatever the Democrats want to do for the entire state of Illinois, they get to do right now.
Sure.
Hold on.
And they're giving Pritzker
tight.
More power.
Yes, this is going to be a white-knuckle experience for the next 2 to 4 years for the state of Illinois. And, you know, God bless the United States of America that we don't get in that position in our federal government. But if the Republicans are not part of the conversation now, when they're really in the driver's seat on this specific issue, where they're going to have to compromise in some places, and some places are going to be off the table, and some places might be on the table right now more than they ever have before. If Republicans want to lead on this issue, they have to find a way to do it. We have an immigration problem that needs to be solved in this country. It needed to be solved yesterday. It needed to be solved in 2014, 13, 2006, when all the Democrats were talking about it as well. So participate in the process and fix this issue and be at the table, both Democrats and Republicans, because if it goes the way of Illinois and you get the Barack Obama leadership in there, but the House Republicans aren't in the majority, they're going to get whatever they want. So I say participate now.
Well, here's where I think the divide came, though. And I'm going to go back to a bite from Lindsey Graham here. Go to cut 13 real quick.
I have never been more depressed about moving forward than right now. I just don't see a pathway forward. Somebody's going to, like, get some energy to fix this.
Here's where I think Graham got off track here. And here's where I think the president has realized, as a negotiator, he'll never have more leverage than he has at this moment. Because he went into this meeting the other day where the Democrats lied about him, you know, being rude and slamming his hands on the table and getting up and walking out and blah, 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 which he and other witnesses say never happened. And he said, if I reopen the government tomorrow, will you guarantee me that within 30 days we will have funding for, we can negotiate on funding for a wall of the southern border? And Nancy Pelosi said no. And at that point, there was no more reason for him to sit there, because it's very obvious they don't plan to give him what he wants no matter what. No grand bargain. I don't think if they came to the table tomorrow, Annie, and for some insane reason offered amnesty to the 12,000 people or 12 million people, I'm sorry, that broke into our country and moved into our living room, that would change where the Democrats are on this right now.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably right. That's the temperature of the room right now. And I think that the power is in the favor of the president right now. And I think that I have no way of knowing any more than anybody else does, but I don't think the Democrats thought the shutdown would last this long. And I truly don't believe that Donald Trump is feeling the pressure that probably a lot of the people around Donald Trump is feeling.
That's a good point.
How long this shutdown lasts. So you're going to see Republicans go in waves of panic, and the president's pretty chill on most issues. he doesn't have that political pressure on him that it seems like everybody else in D.C. tends to have. And we all sit here and we wait and we watch. So the political heat is going to be bearing down on all of the people who are very concerned about their political careers in Washington, D.C. And if the president is squarely focused on border security, and every day that ticks up on the stupid, you know, shutdown clocks that are on all the network news, you can tune in and see the second. I mean, I think that's the stupidest thing in the entire world. But if the president is the one who's going, okay, what about it? So what? It's 20 days. So what is 21 days? I can go a year. I mean, he's really setting the table to put that pressure all on the Democrats. And every time the Republicans start to panic, they need to go talk to him, and he'll go, listen, it's no big deal.
It's okay. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
I hope he does that.
See if it happens. Yeah.
I do. But did you hear the left is about to go apoplectic if he declares an emergency. Listen to Representative Julian, or I guess he pronounces his name, Julian Castro. Because yesterday he said he's not inclined to trade DACA for some sort of a big border wall with Mexico. Then he went on to say cut number 15. Listen to this.
What is your reaction to that as a method of reopening the government?
I hope that he doesn't take us down that path. If he does that, we'll file a motion or a resolution of disapproval in the Congress right away and ask for a vote on it. We'll also fight him and challenge him in every way that we can, in the Congress, in the courts, and in the streets in protest.
And in the media, and in the classroom, and in the entertainment industry,
sure.
And the music industry. I mean, so what? That's a same crap, different day from the Democrats here. There's nothing different about that philosophy than any other day.
But
and Donald Trump knows that.
Andy, they can't beat it. They can't beat him in the Congress. So what John Malcolm told me this morning, I think this was the key takeaway from it, is that he has the statutory authority to do this, and he has to inform Congress that he's doing it. But Congress doesn't play an advise and consent role. Once he informs them of what he's done, he's satisfied the language of the law. The only way they can stop him is to go to court. And I suspect the Supreme Court would take it up pretty quickly. Now, I'm just about out of time. I've got about a minute left. But any thoughts on that?
I think that the president has no problem taking a big step and seeing what happens in the courts. It continues the issue for him, and it keeps the Democrats holding the bag for the government shutdown, just like you said it would.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Well, listen, have fun later today, because the whole weather thing is probably going to start sometime during your show, noon to 3. That'll be fun.
That's all right. We're going to be soldiering through.
Snowmageddon. Be careful out there, girl.
You too. Thanks.
All right. See you later. Annie Fry there, noon to 3 here every day, Monday through Friday, doing a great job. We appreciate having her on board and love getting her thoughts on that, even if we disagree on the amnesty thing. That's where we are. We can have that debate, heck, can't we? And let Julian Castro take to the streets. Good luck with that, pal.